Brendan O'Connor on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Get expert advice from your friendly healthcare team at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Okay, time to talk about what's coming up in cinemas and on TV this week. And I'm joined today by Donald Clark, film critic with the Irish Times, and Gráinne Humphreys, director of the Dublin International Film Festival. Welcome, guys.
Morning.
Highbrow panel today now.
That's right.
Let's live up to it now, Donald.
Why don't we start then with Fly Me to the Moon? Is this a summer rom-com we've all been waiting for?
Well, it's quite nice to watch something that's kind of like romantic and people are happy and they're like really good looking. It's got a really clever concept, which is around the launch of Apollo 11 and the kind of, you know, problems that NASA was experiencing due to the kind of, you know, Vietnam War and ongoing reasons for people not to necessarily want to pursue this sort of space race. But
this is a bit heavy for a rom-com.
It's a bit heavy for a rom-com, but luckily the launch director is played by Channing Tatum, who is spectacularly kind of like bland and kind of plank-like. But the saving of this film is Scarlett Johansson, who's got this kind of Rosalind Russell kind of firing kind of spitball kind of marketing executive. And she's great fun. And she comes in to basically prop up the funding issues around NASA
and
to bring a bit of energy.
Tatum.
Yeah. And then literally prop up Channing Tatum. She rescues him from half the scenes, but she is then, you know, dragged into a conspiracy where they have to make sure that they do actually land on the moon. And so she then creates the false moon landing that we've heard for many, many years as a conspiracy theory. And that bit is actually really funny. I mean, if you could cut Channing Tatum out, it would be a shorter film. But it is her and her kind of manipulation of kind of the brand. And it's fun. Woody Harrelson plays a kind of shadowy FBI guy. It's got Fly Me to the Moon, played about five times. And honestly, it's summery and happy. And
okay, so
there's not too much of that now for the next 20 minutes.
All right, Fly Me to the Moon is in cinemas now. Donald, Long Legs is getting great reviews. I'm enjoying Nicolas Cage's slightly daft late career.
Yeah, it's a fascinating career in this sense that people have been sort of making fun of him for the last 20 years or so. He ran into certain tax issues at some point. There are various other financial issues floating around. And so got in the position where he was making five, six films a year, relatively few of which made it onto the big screen. In fact, quite a few of us, few of them made it into no platform here down through the years. But it's an interesting in that for a long period during that, he was making little else but filler. But over the last 3 or 4 years, he's still basically doing the same thing. He's still churning out huge amounts of films every year. But there are kind of there are diamonds in there. Pig was terrific. Mandy was terrific. Gráinne and I have seen The Surfer.
Oh, it's brilliant. He's amazing.
At Cannes recently, which is an Irish co-production, which is great. And he's really good. And now there is actually, he's not much in Long Legs, I would say. But he is nonetheless. He plays the title character, who is a serial killer, in a really interesting film from Oz Perkins, who was the son of Anthony Perkins, and has obviously lived with that legacy of Psycho all his life and has been translating it into horror films for the last 10 years or so. It's a fascinating picture in that the setup, the hokum at the centre of it, the horror plot is pretty hokumy. It's, you know, he's with his crazed satanic killer who acts through proxy of various other characters to engineer mass killings within families. And I won't go into the thing which links those things together, but Michael Monroe plays an FBI officer who is hired to look into this and track down this serial killer, who turns out to be Nicolas Cage in a white fright wig. A lot of stuff these days is a bit too retro, and I therefore raise my eyes a little bit at the fact that this film is to a certain extent a conversation with the 1990s. But it's done so well, I don't mind. It has that grey, washed-out look that we got used to as cinematography in those days. There's certainly a lot going on, a conversation going on with Silence of the Lambs. You have a female FBI agent who's researching a serial killer. But all that stuff is absolutely beautifully done, never forced. You're kind of gently prodded in the ribs and reminded of these things without it seeming arch. The only issue I have with it, ultimately, the plot at the centre of it is hokey old hokum from Hokum Town, but it's framed so beautifully that I think viewers will find it an unnerving delight. And it's done well in the box office. I mean,
Long Legs.
I was saying, we'll celebrate anything that does well in the box office these days, and that's one film.
Now, Gráinne, Skywalker's A Love Story is a Netflix documentary, and it's set in the world of rooftopping. What is rooftopping?
Yeah, rooftopping is this crazy, crazy sport, which means that you climb to the very, very top of a building. And then I think that's scary enough in itself. But then they do poses and kind of gymnastics, and they have drone shots of them standing at the kind of the highest buildings in the world, some of which are not are iconic, you know, and then some of them are actually just buildings that are still being worked on. So it's a really kind of crazy sport. It's driven, of course, by social media, by capturing those images, uploading them, and then followers. And then obviously there's a certain amount of funding and sponsorship that comes in that drives people to go higher and higher. So this is about a couple come from various backgrounds, come together, fall in love, and then decide that they're going to climb one last building. And the film kind of flashes back towards when they got together, and then this building that suddenly, because of security guards, they get stuck hiding at the top of, and it gets very, very kind of like tense. A lot of it is shot with your the cameras on the top of your heads,
GoPros.
It's terrifying. Honestly, I have a little bit of a vertigo issue, so my legs literally wobble, and it does those shots constantly where you look down and you realize how far up you are. A big, big screen is the way to watch this. So if people want to use their tellies or whatever,
okay.
But it's also you cannot stop watching it. Very, very cool.
A love story. Okay, let's move on Sleep Unlimited cinema release. Donald, if you said to me 5 years ago, even Korean black comedy horror, I would have been like, oh, here we go. But actually now it's kind of a fairly acceptable genre for people.
We've all opened our horizons quite a bit over the past 5 or 6 years. And one of the areas, one of the parts of the world to which we've opened them, I think most notably, is Korea. Suddenly we're all absorbed in Korean culture, not just cinema, but pop music as well. Yeah, this comes from Jason Yu, who is an assistant director to Bong Joon-ho, director of Parasite. And it's a real, I think, kind of masterpiece of tone, I think, in that it begins, as you suggest with your introduction there, in the area of kind of domestic comedy. You have this couple, the guy is having trouble sleeping. We open up with a sort of one of those great sort of fake scares that launches many horror films, and we think something awful is happening during his sleep, and apparently something awful isn't happening. Then he goes to the doctor, and you end up ultimately with two possible solutions to what's going on. One is a logical scientific one. You have the doctor who prescribes various medicines to him, and the other suggestion is it's a supernatural event that the guy down, the person who died downstairs and complained about the noise has come back to haunt them retrospectively and punish them for the amount of noise that they were making and other things they were doing before he died. It's the ultimate Neighbours from Hell film as well as being a bit of a variation on Rosemary's Baby, but always throughout, I think, quite witty. And I think it does one of those things that people love to do, that thing where you walk out and you're arguing as you're walking out about what you have seen. And
I think,
and it does that brilliantly. There are two equally likely solutions to what's happening at the end.
Okay, Sleep Unlimited cinema release. Now, there's two things with Irish connections that I want to talk about. Gráinne, The Murder Scissors Sisters is on Amazon, and this tells the story of a gruesome murder that people will remember.
Yeah, I'm just really, really well done. I mean, I have to confess, I didn't follow the original story in any great detail. So for me, I literally watched a documentary feeling like, wow, that's a discovery I didn't know. It's brilliantly done. I mean, it's got these fantastic scenarios where they actually bring back the guards and the different water unit officers who were involved in 2005. And they speak about it and they chart the days. Also, it's such a completely crazy, both discovering the actual body parts in the canal to actually the way in which they solved it, that it actually plays like a kind of fiction film. And I would say that the talking heads and the contributions from the columnists are really great. And I've actually spoken to a couple of people who watched it before I came in today, and they're all the same. They were not familiar, but drawn in and a big thumbs up. Yeah, it's fascinating. Really well done.
Okay, and Irish done?
Yeah, David Harvey executive produced. It's brilliant. Really, really well done. Lots of Irish contributors to it.
Okay, The Murder Scissor Sisters, and that is on Amazon. And Donald, another documentary, The Locals, on RTE1 at 9:35 p.m. tomorrow night, about seven candidates who ran in the local elections.
Yeah, from Luke McManus, who recently had a bit of a hit with the documentary North Circular.
Global hit.
North Circular. He'd like us to point out, the global hit. about that, about the North Circular Road and a musical journey. Now, I got to be honest, Gron, you've seen this tonight.
Okay, Gron, you've
seen
it. But it sounds fascinating.
It's really good. Yeah. It's really good. I mean, it's part of the benefit of Luke being a part from that constituency. It's the North Inner City, and he looks
at all
the
candidates. It's local elections, would you say?
It's local elections. I think he did it in a really short amount of time, but being a local gave him that access. To be honest, it's so good you wish it was double the length. And I never say
that. Yeah.
Never say that on this particular show. So it's fascinating, well worth watching. And really, I think, captures both the spirit of not just the constituency, but maybe even the actual entire country in looking at the different kind of like parties coming through.
Well, we all go into a booth in those elections, don't we? And we think we know what we're talking about.
Exactly.
We really don't. So it's good to actually see something about these people.
It also shows the amount of voluntary work being done that is never seen, that's invisible. So these people are out 5 times, 6 times a night, not necessarily when they're canvassing, just as part of their commitment to kind of community life. Really, really interesting.
Okay. Thank you very much, Gráinne Humphreys and Donald Clark.